Hello, and welcome to the Fuel Run Recover podcast, helping everyday runners fuel better, run smarter, and recover faster so you can reach your full performance potential. I'm your host, Stephanie Natchek, dietitian, fitness coach, and a fellow runner too. As the owner of Stephanie Natchek Performance Nutrition, I've spent the last 10 years helping runners learn to fuel their bodies, level up their running performance, and establish healthier relationships with food and exercise. If you're ready to reconnect with your love of running, then let's get started on today's episode. All right. So before we get started with today's episode, I wanted to invite you to check out a few great free resources that I created just for runners. To get them, all you have to do is click on the link in the show notes or visit www.stephanienatchek.com. If you visit my website, there's a little pop-up box that comes up and it'll prompt you to enter your email address, and these guides will be sent right to your inbox. The first guide is my fueling guide for runners. So in this resource, you'll find my top fueling tips for runners, as well as some specific meal ideas for both your pre- and post-run fuel. If you've been struggling to understand what to eat when to support your running and just figuring out like what those meal ideas, like what those meals look like, what kind of foods you should be including before versus after you run, what the difference is between pre- and post-run fueling, then this guide is exactly what you need to get you started on the right path. The other guide that I created is my strength training guide for runners. So this guide includes both a PDF resource, has some tips, guidelines, and links to my YouTube series where I actually walk you through all of the exercises in the program. This is a great beginner strength training guide for runners who want an effective but efficient full body workout that helps support the key muscles and movements you need to run stronger and injury-free. So once again, both of these guides are available together. I have them put together as a little bundle for you. You can just click on the link in the show notes or go over to www.stephanienatchek.com, enter your email address just the one time, and both of these free guides will get sent to your inbox right away. I hope you enjoy these resources and find them helpful in supporting you and your running. And now let's get into today's episode. Okay, so welcome everyone to today's episode of the Fuel Run Recover podcast, where I am really, really excited to be sitting down with Stacey Andoria, who is a Fuel Train Recover program graduate and has accomplished some really amazing things this year with her running. Things that I think she probably wasn't even sure if they were possible when she first started on this endeavor, which she will tell you all about coming right up. But yeah, thank you so much, Stacey, for joining me. It's great to have you here, and I'm really excited for everyone to hear what you have to share with them today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited too. And everything you said was 100% true.
Although I guess to be fair, it wasn't just when you started the journey that you thought maybe this wasn't going to happen. It was maybe when you got a little bit closer too. But we'll get into all that. We'll have lots of stuff to talk about today. So What I think is most important for everyone to hear first is, you know, a little bit of an introduction to yourself, who you are, and the story of how you became a runner.
Yeah. So I think the basics, Stacey Ann. I am out here in Reno, Nevada. I'm from the Bronx. And in terms of who I am an event planner who loves to spin. And here I am running now. In terms of how I became a runner, I think it, you know, is one of those, the group mentality. I have a group of friends that really love running. And a couple years ago, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, they said, "Hey, Stacey, we're going to do a race. Do you want to sign up with us? We're going to go to brunch after." And I love brunch. So of course I signed up because brunch was included. And they were like, "Yeah, we're all doing the 10K. And going back to, I think I said it, I'm from the Bronx. I don't know what 10K means. Everything's a street, an avenue, a block. And so not knowing what that meant, I went into a 10K and it was the worst pain I've ever felt in my life. And I did it all for mimosas. Yes, it's a lot of blocks. And it never ended. And I did it all for mimosas. I've learned a lesson the hard way on that one. But that's where the running journey began. And so I did that race and I went, okay, well, that wasn't great. What would happen if I actually trained? And from there, it just became this, okay, you'll do a little 5K here or there, but that was it. And then this year, I really invested in training and running. I challenged myself to do something that scares me, and running scares me. And because I can never go, hey, Stacy, let's start off small, I decided to sign up for a 20-mile race. And here we are, 1 year later, a runner.
And not just any 20-mile race.
No.
A 20-mile trail race.
At night.
At night.
With jumping twigs. In part of the Javelina 100. So I was running in the desert amongst the wildlife and cacti and everything. That's what I decided to do, because extreme. Yes.
Go big or go home, right? Go big or go home.
Exactly.
So, you know, over the course of the last year, you have done, you know, a couple of races and, you know, events leading up to your big Javelina 20 mile. But do you have any like favorite races that you've participated in? Like, you know, aside from that one, which of course we all want to hear about, what are some of the other favorites that you maybe have had, and what did you really like about them?
You know, I am a sucker for scenery. So if I'm able to experience it and it's just not a road race, which is something I enjoy about running in a desert out here, there's always something to look at. But in terms of my favorite races, the half marathon I did, the Napa to Sonoma half marathon, is amazing. I also study wine. And so being out there amongst the vineyards and actually running and seeing them actually pick grapes, and it was just a gorgeous day. That was absolutely gorgeous. And I did this one night trail race, a 5K race, in Auburn, California. And again, it's on a trail. It was at night. It was 5K, but I didn't realize one of the hills, I think, is called Cardiac Hill, and I call it Cardiac Arrest Hill, because I didn't know. Once again, my friends tell me to sign up. I sign up. I need to learn to do my research before I say yes. And that was an awesome race for me, because it also proved to me that I can do hard things. That was a really hard 5K, and I did it with no hill training or anything. And so that was kind of cool, even though there were a couple times I thought I was going over, but that's a different story.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, if you don't know who the friend in your running group is, that is like the one who makes everyone sign up for everything, then it's probably you, right? Like there's always, we all
Gretchen,
have that.
I'm talking to you.
Mine is Michelle. Michelle, yep. If you're listening to this. Like you would think it's me. You would think that it's me, but it's not.
No.
And so when, you know, running for you has been, you know, part, fortunately, you know, even though you had kind of a rough first introduction to racing, you know, it wasn't something that totally put you off the sport forever, which is awesome. Because I think a lot of people, they do that, have won, you know, they're like, okay, running isn't for me. Look how hard it was. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. other people, it's like, wait a minute, what if I actually like tried to get good at this? Like, what if I actually learned about this? And I love when that kind of sparks a little bit of excitement or kind of that love of running. But when you started on that journey to wanting to become a better runner and to really start to learn some of this stuff, what were the challenges that you encountered? What were some of the things that really were barriers for you at the beginning?
Comparison.
Okay.
And understanding that my journey does not look like the next person's journey. And so for me, it was, oh man, this person could just get out there with no training and just run 10-minute miles or 12-minute miles, or how can this person breathe and talk at the same, like breathe and run and talk at the same time? That was really hard. And also, you know, falling victim to the internet, you know, oh, I found this one plan, or this one person said this, and okay, that must be applicable to everybody. And that was a huge challenge for me. And it really, and the other challenge is, you know, people saying, well, if you walk when you run, you're not a runner. And that's not true. Right. And so I think it was a lot of, understanding that you are an individual in this journey, and you cannot compare yourself to others at all.
Yeah, absolutely. And when it comes to everything, I mean, like paces and training programs and distances, like just all of it, right? Like every one of us is completely unique, and we really need to lean into that, I think, in order to be not only successful in the sport, but also to like really enjoy it. Because at any level of experience, or, you know, at every kind of, you know, fast runners, slow runners, the people in between, all that kind of stuff, there's always someone who's going to be doing more than you, always someone who's going to be faster, always someone who's racing more often, always someone who sees, you know, there's always that competition. And as soon as you can let go of that, I agree with you. It makes this whole journey so much easier.
I mean, I just fell into the journey. And we know when I first started, I would come to you and be like, well, I was on the TikTok interweb street and this one person said blah, blah, blah. And you're like, Stacey, no, that's not how it works. You are not that person. Right? And it was like, oh, wow. Okay. Or, you know, going on the Run Keepers or the Stravas and looking up these different programs. And it's like, no, it doesn't work. Like, it might work for others. It, like, as long as you realize that it's okay for it not to work for you, it's not a fault on you. Put it that way.
Exactly. Exactly. So when was it? So kind of going back to this kind of beginning of your journey as a runner and sort of deciding that you really wanted to start taking this more seriously and learn as much as you could about it. When did you decide that you really wanted to work with someone on both your nutrition and how you trained? Like, when did you kind of start to realize that you needed help in these avenues? What was going on then?
Yeah. When I signed up for this race, for this 20 miler, was in January. So like, I mean, January 3rd, I think registration opened, and January 3rd, I was signed up. And I'm not going to lie, I think when I first started the journey, it was like, okay, this really scares me. And also, this would be a great way to lose weight. Right? And so I immediately went to, I think it was, I won't name said app, but I went to an app and I downloaded a program to follow. And I was like, I want to run, you know, 12 or 13 minute miles, whatever it is. I don't even run a 15 minute mile. When I started, it was not that at all. And so I started doing this program and I realized, man, this is really hard. And I have never run before. And I think I need someone to talk to so that I know whether or not this program is right or wrong. And even before that program, I didn't understand things like easy runs, tempo runs, strides. How do you incorporate weight training in there as well? So like, I would go out there and I would just run to run, just run into the ground. And I'm like, and even with you, it took a couple months for you to be like, Stacey, easy running means you should enjoy it. So when I realized that I was getting to the point of almost not enjoying running and almost not enjoying the journey to get to the ultimate race, that was when I was like, okay, Stacey, you need to go to an expert. There's a reason why there are professionals that do what they do. And I am not a professional in running. So let me go find a professional that can help me and really just bring the nutrition and the running journey into one path.
Absolutely. And I think that that's such an important kind of point for people to understand. And like, newer runners that are listening to this episode in particular, to kind of, you know, see just how common this is. Cause I have this conversation with people all the time. You know, when you first start running, people start running and they have one speed, right? You're either running or you're walking. That's all you've got, right? You have to learn how to do the easy running, learn how to intentionally slow down to improve, you know, your endurance and the length of time you can run for. You have to learn how to not be at an all-out sprint, but how to be just a little bit uncomfortable in those kind of tempo paces and in those different workout zones. And these are things that sometimes you can get that from like a blog post, or sometimes you can get that from a training plan. But a lot of times, if you're downloading a training plan off the internet, it's going to say just like, you know, your speed repeats or tempo run, or, you know, just go out and run 5 miles. And if you don't have any other information about what that's supposed to feel like, look like, you know, any other instruction for you as an individual, whether that's heart rate or, right. or rate of perceived exertion, whatever it might be, then you go, you get a lot of people who are killing themselves trying to follow these exactly. training programs, thinking mm-hmm. that they should be running, you know, 8 miles getting ready for a race at their all out fastest pace. And they're suffering. They running, mm-hmm. they, you know, this is where the running sucks. Running is too hard. I'm not a good runner. When a little right. bit of knowledge about how to develop these different speeds and how to develop these different gears is so fundamental, but so often overlooked.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, and it starts playing with you mentally too, because then you start thinking it's you and maybe you're not a runner and maybe this is not yes. your journey. And maybe yeah. you should just focus on watching a series of, I don't know, Living Single. I don't know, but like, no, you can do it. You can get out there. And that's what I'm saying. Don't look at these programs and think it's a fault of your own, because I was so close and I'm happy I saw the signs to realize, whoa, let me take a step back and let me go to someone.
Yeah. And especially when it's also paired up with a motivation to lose weight along the same lines, because then we're probably under fueling at the same time as we're, you know, doing these punishingly hard and, you know, obscenely long and difficult workouts that are maybe unnecessary. And of course, it just creates the worst of both worlds is what we wind up getting ourselves into. All right. So when you dove in to actually learning some of this stuff and kind of, you know, looking more closely at your eating and your training and all those wonderful things, what were, you know, give us a list if you've got a list or if you've just got one big thing that stands out, but what were some of those like most impactful or biggest lessons that you learned along the way?
Oh, man. Wow. I mean, it's so funny. These lessons are running and life related. It's huge. So one, easy running. Please trust the process, people. You might feel like you're doing a senior citizen shuffle. You might be like, how am I running 1 to 3 minutes slower than what my race pace is? And all of a sudden I'm supposed to be doing this 80% of the time. And on race day, I'm just supposed to kick it up. It happens. You can do it. Trust it. Easy running is the most beautiful thing. And once I figured that out, going out and running those long times became so much easier, because I knew I wasn't going to be like in the pain cave 15 minutes in, right? That's a huge one. Nutrition is another one in terms of you need carbs, people. Carbs are our friend. Like, don't turn away the bread basket. You can have a piece of bread. It's amazing. And like, I realized too, the more I got into running, the less I thought about my food, because I kind of automatically, and you said this to me in the very beginning, and I was like, ma'am, if you don't give me a plan of steamed broccoli and roasted asparagus, you and I are not friends. And you were like, Stacy, I am not going to do this to you, because you're going to realize that you're going to start eating what you need to fuel your body. And it just all kind of came together. You know, you talk about the athlete's plate so much. And I remember I had it on my fridge for a while because I just wanted to see it. And then after a while, that just became so natural. And it wasn't about, oh, Stacey, you can't eat this or you can eat that. It was, let's eat everything in balance so that I could support what I'm doing next. That was really big. And then like in life, I just feel like I took so many of those things, like, hey, you know, those easy runs or those tempo runs, like you got to focus on those little things to get to the ultimate goal. And I just realized, like I said it before, but you can do hard things. And, you know, training from almost 0 to 20 miles is a freaking hard thing. But if you dedicate the time that's necessary for it, you realize, oh my gosh, you get to race day. We'll talk about race day, but then you do it and you're just like, I can't believe I did that. So, but my two major things would be trust the process and time on feet. I did not believe that, oh yeah, you know, 3 hours could prepare you for 6 hours on feet. It's like, what? How? Explain this to me, ma'am. And it does.
Yes, absolutely. And also, like, you know, you were just sharing before we actually hit record here, how much your pace has actually improved with those shorter distances. I mean, you know, you can't really compare like running around the block near your house to like doing something like a trail race. You know, those are completely kind of apples and oranges in terms of what your pacing would look like there. But going from where you started of like, basically, you know, walk, run. I don't even know if you were running a full mile at once when we first started.
No, I was not. I was not.
Now, now you can run many, many miles without stopping. But also significantly faster. And not that that always has to be the goal in terms of easy pace. Like, I do want to make that clear for people listening that we aren't always trying to bump up and get faster with our easy pace, and that's okay. But it's cool if you notice that your fitness improves to the point where your heart rate is still well within that easy zone and you're still at that conversational pace, despite running a lot faster than you were a year ago. There's not that you're not always going to continue to get faster, you know, for forever and ever and ever. But it is a really neat thing that you see as just trusting the process and putting the time on your feet in.
Right. And when I started, it wasn't even, I mean, this whole year wasn't about Stacey getting faster. It was about me being able to actually be able to do 20 miles. So being able to be on my feet and be able to do that. So that easy pace took me from not being able to run, you know, a mile to, I remember the first time I were in the app and I was like, I just ran 10 miles. I didn't stop. I ran 10 miles at an easy pace. And that was huge for me. Right. And I think my pace for that was like maybe 16, 17, 18 minute miles. I didn't care. That's not something I would be able to consistently do. So, and there should be no shame in the game. Like, you shouldn't be like, oh my God, I'm over a 15 minute mile. I'm walking. No, like, you have to do that to get to race day, to be able to do those, for me, would be like 14, 13 minute miles, right? So it was, I'm loving it. I love it all for me.
Exactly. I love that. And so, yeah. So, I mean, you know, you put the time into the training, you learned what you had to learn. You took a closer look at your nutrition and your fueling. You learned that it doesn't have to be all kind of low carb or extremes in order to see the changes that you want to see and all that wonderful, beautiful stuff. So when it comes to, you know, being now at the end of the program, what results were you most excited about? Let's talk about some of those massive wins that you saw along the way.
Oh my gosh. Running. consistency. That result was big for me. Probably not something people would say, but I mean, we started in March. And looking back from March till, you know, my race day was end of October, I really stay dedicated and consistent to the program, right? Like obviously we had days off. Rest days are important, people. But like, you know, when I had a day of training, I did it, you know, and I stayed consistent to that. That was huge. Being able to understand the run process for more than just going out there and running until you can't run anymore. Understanding, you know, what a tempo run does for you and what strides do and what easy runs do. And, you know, maybe long runs. I mean, when we first started a long run, I think the first long run in my program was like 45 minutes. And now when I do 45 minutes, I feel like I'm cheating the system. Like, I'm just like, wait, is that it? Yeah. I'm like, is that it? Like, I get off the treadmill or I get back home from outside and I'm like, I have the whole, what do I do now? Like, so being able to say like, I can actually do this, like my cardiovascular, what's the word I'm looking for? Strength, ability.
Yeah.
It's so much better than what it was when we first started. And I was never a person that just sat around. I always worked out. Right. And, you know, I think those were really, really big for me. And being able to say, okay, I finished this program. Now what? And not being like, whew, girl, I'm done with this. I'm going to go back to doing nothing. And being like, okay, Steph, like next year, let's work on this. Like now I'm, you know, I'm like, oh my God, am I a runner? Is this real?
you're in the cult. You're all the way in the cult.
That's
now.
It. That's it. But not the ultra cult. Really, I'm not doing that.
But I really actually, I love that you say that because you know, a lot of times when we're doing anything that is at the end of the day unsustainable, we can buckle down, we can, you know, dig into that willpower and whatever it is, knowing that there's an end in sight and there's sort of this light at the end of the tunnel where we can stop doing this. And that's where a lot of people are on that continual, you know, diet cycle of always being on this next program, being on this next diet, doing this thing, because there's sort of an end point that then, even if we aren't intending to quit, we get to an end point that then we can, go back to what we were doing before, kind of revert back to our old habits and whatever. And to get through, you know, all the races that you did this season, because it wasn't just the 20 mile, but everything else that you did, and to reach the end of it and just feel that much more motivated for what's next, you know, okay, what's my next goal? How am I going to shift gears? And it's not always about larger volumes. It's not always about longer distances. It's about just kind of thinking about what skills you want to work on as a runner in the next step. But that really shows the sustainability of what you have already incorporated, like the sustainability of what you're doing. And of course, the enjoyment of it, that you want to keep going. Like, it's not, oh yeah, I can't wait to be done with this and never have to look at it ever again. But to really, you know, be taking a little bit of time off to kind of rest and let your body recover and then pick it up again and see what's next.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and like you said, it doesn't, your goals don't have to be, oh, like Stacey, you just ran 20 miles, so you're going to run a marathon. No, I'm not doing it. And stop asking me, Gretchen. I would like to work on my speed, right? So like next year, I'm like, I already said this to you. I'm like, let's focus on the 5Ks and 10Ks and let's see how I can get faster in these smaller races and, you know, help me build towards, you know, when I do a half marathon again, like how can I cut that time down?
Exactly. Exactly. It's a long game. It's a long process, but you know that when you really find that enjoyment in it, you're already thinking, you know, years possibly down the road in terms of goals, which is super cool. Any other like kind of results or sort of things that really excited you? Is there anything else that, that really kind of stood out for you in terms of the changes that you made?
I mean, I said nutrition, the way I look at workout, it's very healthy, right? Like I think we unfortunately fall into diet culture and I feel like this journey, ironically, you would think, Stacey, like you spent, I mean, my friends were so tired of hearing from me, like, Stacey, can you go out? No, I have a long run in the morning. I can't do that. I'm going to be sore afterwards and I'm not going to drink with you. And you know, you kind of do that. And then all of a sudden, it becomes like you have this healthy relationship with food and your body. That was a huge one. Even in terms of recovery and addressing pain, right? I think that if I were doing this on my own, and I was lucky in that I never really injured myself, but I would have times where I'm like, oh, my back is kind of, or my leg is kind of, and if I were on my own, I'm like, well, no pain, no gain. Let's go, Stacey, right? And there are times when you're like, Stacey, for the next 2 days, you're going to do nothing. And we're going to, if you wake up with, I think your scale was, if it feels like a 3, you're not doing anything. You're going to wait, right? And it was like one of those things where I had to fight the, if I don't run today, I'm going to lose everything that I gained over the last 6 months, right? It's like, or you're going to run today and you won't be able to. It's just gone. It's just gone. Where did it go? I have no idea. Or I'm going to run injured and not be able to run for the next 6 months, right? And so just understanding that, okay, sounds so cheesy. Your body is your temple. You got to take care of it if you want to do these things. And that does mean sometimes you have to sit still and you have to address the challenges and the problems in front of you, right? Like I went to the doctor a couple times, like, hey, I've had this pain and I just want to make sure that I'm not running on like a hairline fracture or something going on, and really addressing it. And it's scary because of course you go there and you're like, they're going to tell me this and all this is going to go out the window. But like, I would rather them tell me that than next thing you know, I have a fracture and they're like, so your running game is over or you're not running for the next year. And you know, so please people, listen to your body and do not feel like you are weak or lesser than if you need to slow down and or stop.
Yeah. And I mean, injuries are preventable to a degree, but, and like, you know, everyone has a different kind of injury risk. You know, some people just do have, you know, a little bit worse, we'll call it, I guess, worse luck in that department than others. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whether it is a matter of there being certain things that they're doing that could be done differently to prevent injuries or not. I mean, you know, we'll never have all that information for each of us, but you know, paying attention to things, not letting small problems become big problems, especially in the midst of a training plan, if it means that it's going to potentially derail you for longer, further down the road as you get closer to that event, you're better off taking the extra day now and recovering, right, you know, 99% of the way there before you pick it back up again.
Absolutely.
And like you said, that no pain, no gain mentality that we see so often is
trash.
Not
throw it away.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about the race. So tell us about Javelina 20 miler and your experience.
I know that I saw
lots of, you know, social media content and people, you know, very, very prominent runners posting about participating in it. So it's super cool to know somebody that was there and, you know, give us the rundown of what it's all about.
Yeah. So again, this would be the ultra friend that gets you every time. She was running 100 miles and they have this takes place in Fountain Hills, Arizona, in McDowell Mountain Range, I believe it is. And it's a 20-mile loop. And so the people that are doing 100 miles, they do that loop 5 times. You have the option of doing 60 miles or you have the option of doing 20 miles. And so I signed up for the 20-mile race and, you know, obviously went through the training program. The week comes and, you know, we're setting up the tent. You basically have a crew spot because every time your runner comes in, they give you a set amount of time, whether they need to refuel, you are massaging their legs, whatever it is, all that good stuff. And I remember, you know, I was there for the first loop of seeing her come around. You start at like 6 a.m., the 100 milers and the 60 milers, and then the 20 milers, we start at 6 p.m. And I just remember that first loop, seeing these runners come through, and I was like, ooh, my anxiety is on 1 million kajillion. Like, I need to get out of here. I don't need to see this. And so I, you know, got Gretchen ready for the first round and then left my friends and was like, you guys could do this the next couple of rounds. I can't continue to see runners go back and forth. Yeah. And this is when the mind games come in. It's like, Stacey, you've been running for, at that point, I think it was like 10 months almost, like, you know, just training for this. And then you just feel like, oh my God, I can't do it. And I had a full on, I was crying on the start line, like absolutely horrendous. But then you get out there and it's the most supportive community of runners. I mean, you're running along this path with, I think there was like something like 800 runners, I believe. I'm not sure. And anytime somebody passes you, it's a word of encouragement. Good job. You're doing good. Oh my God, I like your shoes. I'm sure, Steph, you saw me from Canada because I had headlamp. I had a light on my back. I had one on my chest. I had some of my shoes. I was like blinking to the gods.
It was also the middle of the night.
You saw me coming. It was the middle of the night. Like, and there's no, it's the desert. There's no lights anywhere. Right. And, most of the trails, like, maybe 1 or 2 people deep, that's it. And so it was kind of interesting because as I'm running, I remember when I first started, I was very self-conscious because since it is a small trail, if someone passes you, you kind of, as a slow runner, I'm constantly stopping to let somebody go past me. And I'm like, oh my God, they're probably judging me because I'm so slow. But every time it was like, good job. You're doing great. Thank you so much. Like, come on, you got this. What? It's like such a great feeling. Now, the greatest part of this race, which would probably be someone's nightmare, is that my watch didn't work. So we talk about it all the time. There's so many people at races, the GPS goes down or something happens. So I started my watch and it did not read the number of miles that I had or my pace. So the only thing I looked at was the time running. It was the best thing ever, because what that meant was I didn't know when the next aid station was coming up. I didn't know if I had 10 miles left or 5 miles left. I didn't know if I was running too fast or too slow. I had to trust myself and run on vibes. And it was the best thing that has ever happened to me. Because if you asked me if I was running 6 hours out there, I would say, no, I probably ran like 3 hours. That's what it felt like. But I was running like 6:40 out there, you know, and I had these aid stations with like full kitchens. One of the aid stations, I don't know if I told you this, was a full party, a DJ, a dance floor. There were costumes. They had a barbecue. So like I stopped. I didn't like, I'm not running for anybody's golden ticket. I'm running for fun.
I stopped. I would just like,
I stretched, I danced, had a wrap, I had some pickles, I had some candy, like it was all good. Like, it was the epitome of like, enjoy the race. And, you know, I definitely saw some ultra marathoners, some really well-known ones. And unfortunately or fortunately for them, I don't know people. So like, I couldn't fangirl over anybody. And that meant that I just enjoyed having conversations with people and people looking at me like, do you know who you're talking to? I'm like, a woman. No idea. But it was such an amazing race. And if you're looking for just a race to have fun with, and especially like the 20 miler starts at 6 p.m. at night, I mean, it is Arizona. They were running in the heat of the day where they were lucky. It was like 82 degrees, but 82 degrees in Arizona with no shade feels like 90. So I feel those ultra marathoners, whoo, child.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool. What a fun event. And
yeah,
so,
it was great.
I feel like if I came along at a race and there was an aid station with a DJ and a dance floor, like I would just be there. I wouldn't even get my medal at
Light,
the end.
Music. Oh my gosh.
What everything. Happened?
It was,
she's on the dance floor.
And it was perfect because it was the halfway aid station, right? So like I took the most time at that one, wiped all the salt off my face, danced, stretched, because I started to feel a little bit of cramps, right? We talked about how to prepare. Like that was something we discussed. What do you do, Stacey, if you get a cramp? What do you do? Yeah. Like, let's get a proactive plan going. So like I took the time to do that, which meant when I went into the second half of the race, it felt like a new day. It felt like another race. Like I didn't feel tired. It was like, oh yeah, I'm just like, all right, it's another race part two. Like it's all good. And it was the perfect moment to reset.
Love that. Love that. Mm-hmm. And so going into this whole process, you know, from when you decided that you needed some help, you were looking for someone to work with, you know, what you kind of expected that to be like, sort of what you had in your head, what was the most surprising thing or some of the most surprising things that you ended up doing differently or that you learned along the way? Like what really sort of caught you off guard in terms of how you kind of live and how you do things now versus before?
Glide is a beautiful thing. I never knew about Glide before. Also, if you didn't know, you have to get very intimate with yourself when you put on Glide. I learned that lesson the hard way. So close the bathroom door, put on a candle, light a candle and glide up, people. That's something that I didn't know before.
Yep.
We all know there is a stigma with being a plus size runner. I am a plus size runner. And so I think I was like a little afraid. I did this and I was like, I signed up for it. I'm going to do it. But there was also still like do big people do this? Like, can we run 20 miles? Like, can this happen? And, you know, again, if you trust the process and you train the way you should, yes, you can. Right. And so that's something that I approach differently in life is I'm not conscious of my body in the running space. Right. And so that kind of helped me ease into this journey a bit more, just understanding like, hey, guess what? We all paid the same amount of dollars for this race and we're all getting the same damn medal at the end. Like it doesn't matter. Right. So it kind of helped me become comfortable with the race, understanding, you know, even on this journey, running is not cheap. Who said that? Socks are expensive. Shoes are expensive. Sometimes you could even overthink the clothing that you're wearing. You're like, do I need to get this like high-end fancy piece of something? And it's like, guess what? I went through all of that and I realized the best clothing for me comes from Old Navy when they're there having their activewear sale, right?
There you go.
Like, that's the best piece of clothing for me. Or, you know, people swear by Hokas. And so you kind of fall into this like, I must wear Hokas. Like, there, it doesn't work for everyone. I personally am a New Balance girl, right? And so like understanding the importance of even the footwear you're having, because I think when I first, I don't even want to know what I wore on that 10K race that first day because I didn't run. So like I probably wore Chucks. I who knows what I was wearing? Like socks who? Like, I don't know. They probably had a hole in the big toe. I don't know. Like, so like, just the importance of like the clothing. And also, I know so many people are like, oh, it's race day, I have to look pretty. I'm like, no, if I haven't run in this before, it's not coming with me on race day. Like, I tried every piece of clothing on all my training runs to decide, okay, this is what I'll bring with me on race day. Do not try anything new, people. Don't do it. Don't get new shoes on race day.
No, don't do that.
So those are some of the things that I've learned.
Yeah. And I think that too, you know, that point that you made about like, the running community and the inclusivity of the running community is something that has been talked about a lot more lately. I've seen a lot of conversations around even just the race experience for people who are at the back of the pack. Like, you see some races that are running out of water, running out of Gatorade, running out of medals at the end. And I mean, I have never been a race director, so I obviously, I have no idea the ins and outs and the challenges of doing something like that. But I think that, you know, you said it perfectly, like we're all paying for the same event. We're all signing up for this experience. And it should be just as good for the runners at the front as it is for the runners at the back.
And I want to give a shout out to Reno Races for that. I ran a half marathon in October and I experienced that. I was back of a pack runner. You know, there's a 3:30 cutoff for the half marathon and I came in like 3:28, right? And as I'm coming around, you know, to aid stations towards the end, I'm literally seeing them close these aid stations. There's no water. There's no anything. I get to the finish line and it's like, what happened to all the sponsors and the vendors and every, like, you guys announced that this is the amount of time, like what's going on here? And the reason why I give a shout out to Reno Races is I did email them, you know, and it's something about me. I'm an event manager, right? So I do understand the logistics of planning and all of that. And I understand I'm not going to go at them and be like, how dare they? And I'm like, listen, like we all deserve the same experience. This is a great day and everyone, you know, works really hard. And just some of the things like communicate, they didn't communicate that it was a 3:30 cutoff until the day like of packet pickup or something like that. And the packet pickup email, they never communicated that before. I'm like, you say it's 3:30, but then there's no aid stations for us. There's no anything. We get to the finish line and the DJ was playing "So You Had a Bad Day." Like at 3:30, right? Like, what is happening here? And so I emailed them and I said, hey, you know, this is something that should be addressed, should be looked at. Like, if you're telling people this is a cutoff time, your sponsors, your vendors, you need to also do that. And they were so great with immediately responding, saying that is an error on our part. We will do better. And we would love to invite you back, you know, for a next race. And they gave me a discount code for another race. But like, I would also encourage people to speak up and say something to them because sometimes they just need to be made aware.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And especially if you're going to be finishing an event. Yeah, that's, that feels deliberate.
Dirty.
Yeah. And especially if you are going to be within the cutoff time. Like, I understand to a point, if there is a specified cutoff time for a race and they've said, like, you know, this is how long we can have volunteers. This is how long we can have streets closed down for. Because, you know, like you said, there's a lot of stuff that goes into this. But to be within that cutoff time and to already be kind of tearing down and being done with this thing, like, that's incredibly, incredibly disheartening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So aside from some of the logistical and clothing and anti-chafing lessons that you learned, what are some of the things that you're doing differently now that you wouldn't have anticipated? What are some of the surprising things that you're now doing differently as a runner, as a person who eats?
Who eats carbs and loves it. I eat carbs and I love it. That's number one. I feel confident running outside. I've never done that before. Like, I'm like, nobody should have to watch me, senior citizen, walk outside. Like, absolutely not. And I enjoy running outside. I look forward to it. So that's something that I'm doing differently. Two, we talked about, you know, this is my off season for the next couple months. And I put together a plan to follow. That's not something I would do. Usually I'd be like, oh, I'll just get out there and run. And it's like, no, now that I understand the mechanics of it and how to better support myself, it's like, you're not just going to run yourself into the ground. Let's get those easy runs, those tempo runs. Like, hey, it's your off season. Let's lift a little bit heavier. You can actually spend time doing a little bit more cross training as well. So like, I'm thinking about it more holistically than versus like, I'm just going to go in the gym and burn myself out for an hour and come back home. Like, that's, you know, that's something that I'm definitely doing differently. Even the confidence I carry with getting on the treadmill or going outside is amazing. Like, I feel it's weird. You start this journey and I feel like there's a joy in my life that just kind of permeates through everything that I'm doing because of the journey. So that's my number one takeaway, is that just if you do it, enjoy it. And I promise you, you're going to feel it in more than just the hour or whatever it is that you're working out. It's going to kind of carry with you throughout everything.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, like, it sounds like a little bit cheesy sometimes to start getting all sort of woo-woo about this stuff. But like, there's so many lessons that we can learn as runners that really do translate to the rest of our lives. Yeah. Like, there's so much overlap that I think we aren't expecting or sort of anticipating. And it's really neat when we can kind of reflect on that and see what an impact it has in so many other areas of our lives, even though, absolutely, you know, like, it does sound a little bit cheesy when you first kind of think about it. So if you think back to, you know, 2022, Stacey, and you, as someone who's listening to this episode, is maybe where you were previously. What advice would you give to a runner who's, you know, where you were at last year?
You know, gosh. So first thing we said it before is the plans you download from whatever app or online, the people you're listening to online, I'm not going to say what they're saying is wrong, but it might not be tailored towards you. Everything with the chunk of sea salt. Okay. Like, I mean, a big old chunk of flaky sea salt. Like, I mean, it may or may not work for you. Old Stacey was on every diet that has come out. And the Stacey this year has not looked at anybody's diet plan, because I eat what I need to be sustained. I've put away the scale, because running is not about pound up and down. And if you do that, you're going to be in a battle with yourself, because some days you're retaining water. Some days you're swollen. Some days you just ran three hours and you're down 5 pounds. And then all of a sudden, what the hell? Why am I up 10? Stop it. Put it away. Specifically for my plus size runners, do not feel like you can't do it. And do not feel that if you're walking, you are not a runner. Walking breaks are necessary and they are fine, and they do not disqualify you from being a runner. Slow the front door down, bitches. Like, oh my God. Like, slow down. Slow down. You have said that to me. And I mean, you had easy runs in my program from day one, and it was somewhere, I think I went running with my husband, and he's like, oh, I'm going to do zone 2 running. I'm like, oh, well, today's an off day. I'm just here to walk the dog. So I guess I'll do it with you, because you're hella slow. And so like, I did it. And I was like, wait a second. Is this what this is? And you're like, look at how consistent this time is, Stacey. This is what were you? I was like, yeah, I was talking to him the whole time. Like, I think I called my mom in between. And you're like, lovely. And once that hit, I was like, oh, shiitake mushrooms. Is this what easy running is? And then that became like my hour and a half, 2 hour, 3 hour runs became less daunting because it was like, yeah. Okay, so I just get to be outside a little bit longer. Like that's yeah. it. And so it like slowed down and just plus size people, we belong in the space just as much as anybody else. And feel confident in that and know that you belong. That's it.
I love that. I love that. And I think too, with the dauntingness of the long run, so many people have so much long run anxiety. And, you know, giving yourself permission to walk if you need to, giving yourself permission to, you know, go slow, take your time, fuel yourself and hydrate yourself properly.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, okay, two things as soon as you said that. One, with the long runs, because you know I had long run anxiety. Every time I saw it, I would like send you a message immediately. Like, I don't like you. Don't talk to me for the next 3 days. And but okay, there's two things you said to me. Stacey, why don't you set up an aid station at home and break up that long run? So you come back, you reset, you refuel, you do all that, and then you go back out. Once I did that, it just kind of, once again, kind of reset me for round two of a run, and it was easy. Fueling and hydration during your runs is so important. It's, I don't know how we made it this long and I haven't said that, but like, I remember we talked about like, ideal runners, like there was a study that says like 100 carbs, like about 100 carbs per hour or something like that. And that is something I did for Javelina, and I did it here. Like, practice what you're doing for race day on your training runs, right? So like, I made Ziploc bags, and every Ziploc bag for Javelina had at least 100 grams of carbs. And it was like, I would look at that time and the new hour would hit, a new bag would come out. And I never hit a wall. I never hit a wall because I made sure to have my carbs, I had my hydration. I made sure, Stacey, I want at least 5 ounces of hydration per 10 minutes, right? And so of course, I'm not like looking at my bag, but I trained for that. Meaning on my long runs, I knew if I did, you know, a 2 hour loop and I came back to refill, I'm looking to see how much I drank. And, you know, that helped me so much. It was ridiculous. Like the combination of carbs and salt, I was able to not hit a wall. I was able to really not get any major cramping, which, you know, I suffered from in my long runs. And it's so important. Like, don't go out there talking about, I'm going to run 3 hours with a 8 ounce chubby water. What are you doing? Stop the madness. Drink and eat something. Like, you need your fuel. So important. Yes. So important. Yes.
Wonderful advice. Wonderful advice. I don't think we can, I honestly, I don't think that we can, you know, no matter how many times I say it, no matter how many times guests on the podcast say it, no matter how many times I talk about it on social media, no, there will never be enough, you know, encouragement and kind of pushing Please. For the fueling and hydration, because you do see people who still want to not necessarily promote a certain way of doing things, but what I see a lot in like the Facebook running groups and stuff like that, which, you know, can just be as helpful as they are sometimes, other times, like, we need to just do away with this whole thing. Someone will ask, you know, somebody asks a question in one of those groups, like probably on a daily basis, you know, oh, how much water do you bring on your runs with you? Or how much fuel? Or what do you recommend for fuel? Like all these just, you know, basic nutrition, hydration questions. And sure enough, there'll be somebody who will come in there and say like, well, I do my full marathons with absolutely nothing and I'm totally fine. And like, it's all this.
Absolutely not.
And who knows? I mean, maybe they're telling the truth. Maybe they are. I have no idea. I don't know these people, right? Or maybe they're just a troll and they're just in there messing with people and they're just lying. Like, we have no idea.
Oh my gosh. No, it's so important.
Yeah.
And I trained with that too, because for Javelina, running 20 miles meant that I was running with, you know, a 2 liter on my back. I didn't do 3 because I knew where the aid stations were, but I had 10. Because I overpacked, because who knows, what if I, you know, hit a wall and I went slower, but 10 Ziploc bags with food and fuel in there. So like, It was funny. I kept saying I was rucking. I was like rucking on this thing. Like, I'm like, I picked up my bag and I'm like, this is probably a 10 pound bag. But guess what? I trained with that to make sure that I would be able to handle it on the run. But that also meant I was like, when I saw somebody hit a wall, like I had enough fuel to be like, do you need a goo? Do you need a, I have a spring energy gel. Do you want a ginger chew? Like I had fuel, man, if I got lost out there in that desert. Oh my gosh, you can tell me anything. I could damn near take a peanut butter and jelly out. Like I was good, but like fueling on your runs, you will realize that you will go from being like, I can't run X miles. And you're like, wow, I had this fuel. And all of a sudden I was able to do like a couple miles more than I thought.
Yeah.
And pickles are good.
And it felt good, right?
It felt
good. Amazing. Amazing. All right. So any final words for everyone who's listening today? Any final words of wisdom, pieces of advice, things that that you want to share with everybody who's listening today?
I think that you don't need to have a major race to get a running coach. You don't have to, if you want to just learn to run, even just for fun, you don't need to be like, I need to sign up for this marathon to justify having a running coach. I think that it is a great investment to have if this is the journey that you're on. Stephanie, I think your website will be in the show notes and I would highly encourage that. Like I go through withdrawals when I don't speak to you. I'm like, oh my God, let me tell you what Coach Steph said. Your name comes up a lot in this household, let me tell you. I think that's something really to really strongly think about. And even if you're one of those, like, I already run ultras and I haven't used anyone, or like, I'm a runner, blah, blah, blah. Like there's always something to learn. I mean, the science is always evolving. There's always something to learn. And I think I would highly encourage anyone who's even thinking about it to just go and do it.
I love that. I love that. Well, thank you so much for being here. You have been a fabulous giver of wisdom and fun stories and lots of things that I think is, you know, things that are incredibly relatable for so many people that listen to the show. And so it's been wonderful chatting with you today as, our little interim conversation until the new year.
So
we won't have too many withdrawals over the next couple of weeks. For anybody who is listening, of course, yes, my website and information about my programs are in the show notes. And like Stacey said, you know, just working with someone, getting some good quality, trustworthy information is always a good idea. I would love it if you signed up for my program, but it doesn't have to be mine.
Do it.
Sign up for something.
It has to be hers. Do it.
And thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Fuel Run Recover podcast, and we will catch you next week. Bye for now.
The information on this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not to be used or relied upon for the diagnosis or treatment of any health condition. This information does not create a client-practitioner relationship and should not be used as a substitute for professional medical advice.